Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and Paradigm Shifters are people who are making a difference at this time in the great shift in our collective consciousness. Who I'm interviewing this week is Karen Ashley, who represents the West Coast Dowsers and Metaphysicians Conference coming up in Santa Cruz. And Dowsers are a really interesting, almost a legendary group of people that have been making a difference for a long time. So Karen, welcome to the show, and let's find out what that really means.
Thank you.
So you're the manager, you're the, what's your role in the West Coast Dowsing Conference?
I'm the coordinator, mm-hmm. the director of the conference. I'm the one that keeps all the ducks moving forward so we can produce an absolutely fabulous conference.
Wow. Well, are you a dowser as well?
Yes.
So what's a dowser, Karen?
Well, a person who connects into their consciousness and the collective consciousness through the use of their intuition and using an instrument in order to get the answers.
So is that like witching or divining?
Divining, water witching. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, dowsing has been characterized by looking for water or looking for something or questing for something. And so you ask questions, and you can ask questions in your mind, and you have some kind of indicator that gives you a signal as to whether it's a yes response or a no response or I don't know response.
Or sometimes a quantity. How, I keep imagining when we say water witching, I see the Y-shaped sticks?
Yeah, it's called a Y-rod. Mm-hmm. Historically, it was a peach tree twig that was Y-shaped.
Oh, really?
And you held it in your hands, and you walked along, and you asked questions, and the stick would go down where the water was. And the water is as good as the questions you ask. So if you don't include in your questions potable, fresh, clear water, and how many feet down, you'll get different answers depending upon how specific you get with your questions.
So it's like the use of consciousness in pretty much everything, isn't it? You have to be really open to the full picture, the whole picture, eh?
Yes, yes.
And people used to count on witchers and diviners to actually find their water, didn't they, years ago?
Oh, they still do.
Oh, really?
I just talked to the director of our basic school, and he just got accepted a project that he did for finding water for the Hopi Indians in Arizona, and it's now been accepted, and they're going to go forward with drilling the wells.
Wonderful. What's the basic school?
The basic school is at our conference and at the Southwest Conference and at the American Society of Dowsers Conference. We teach beginning dowsing. And the premise is that you learn how to find something or learn how to find water, and you get practice asking the questions and doing the prayers before you do the dowsing. And it's that kind of response you get, that kind of aha experience when you find the water, because we actually take you out in the field and let you use the instrument so you can find the water. And water is so tangible, it's so real, that when someone thinks they can't find water and then they really do, they go past those blocks and they just find it.
So it's a real paradigm shift.
It is. You just tingle all over because you've done it. And from that experience, knowing that you can do it, knowing you can get a response, then that can transfer itself, or you can begin to train yourself into other areas of wherever you're interested in dowsing. So when I learned to douse, I had that experience, and then I was able just to douse different things in my life. And the more I doused, the more I had that sensation in my body, the more I connected to spirit, a lot of dowsers will call it the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then oftentimes you use the dowsing instrument just to validate what you already know, because you know that you know because of the kinesthetic or the sensations you get.
Is it energy, Karen?
It's an energy, yeah. Mm-hmm. You just, and I think a lot of people know, you know, when you have an intuitive hunch, you just know that it's right.
Mm-hmm.
And when you follow it and you have a successful experience, it gives you validation and it gives you practice in following your instincts and your intuition.
So you're saying it actually opens you to being able to apply this technique inside of yourself without even a tool?
Exactly.
Hmm.
Like, so we're having two speakers at the conference, and they have been dowsing for so long that they don't use instruments very often.
Hmm.
And so they're teaching a class in deviceless dowsing.
Hmm. And what does that look like, just walking the land looking for water in your intuitive self?
Self, yeah. Yeah, I mean, deviceless is you don't have a pendulum. For people who don't know the different instruments we have, it's a Y rod.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't use a peach tree. We use a nylon. It's made out of nylon rod, and it's shaped into a Y.
Mm-hmm.
We have an instrument called a bobber.
Just wait a sec. When it's shaped into a Y, so you hold each of the the points, and then the bottom of the Y points down when you're getting
down.
Something.
Mm-hmm. And we have a bobber, and then they have L rods, and anybody can make an L rod out
of a bobber. Is like a fishing line that responds magnetically to the earth, isn't it?
No, that would be like a pendulum.
Okay.
A bobber is like a rod that's coiled, and it's very sensitive, and it will just bounce up and down very gently to the questions.
Hmm.
And most folks who are into dowsing also are guided or just are naturally drawn toward metaphysical experiences and ideas and thoughts and philosophies.
Okay.
And often people who are into metaphysics will pendle, and they have a pendulum, and I have talked to so many people, and they never realized that that was a dowsing instrument.
Hmm.
They just know that they just pendle stuff.
You know, it's funny because I'll even use a tea bag on a string.
Yeah.
A friend of mine uses the extension of his old-fashioned cell phone. You know how he has the antenna? And I've seen
you can use your keys, you know. You can
use your arm, too, right?
Yeah, you can use your arm. Kinesiology or muscle testing is dowsing. It's just using the body.
Hmm.
It's dowsing with the body.
So it's basically talking about...
Fingers.
Pardon me?
You can use your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the real truth is it's not the instrument that's giving you the answer. It's a way of showing an indicator. It's a tool that you use in order to access that consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Just the knowing.
Yeah, it's a knowing. It's quite a community.
Hmm.
It's an incredible community because it's not just about dowsing. It's about, you know, finding your spiritual place and knowing all the things that people are interested in through the dowsing network.
So you can probably find your own personal center by doing all of this, can you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the kids. Don't you people also teach kids how to do this?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
About 14 years ago, we decided that we wanted to include everyone in the conference, so we include children.
Mm-hmm.
So we created a kids' conference within our conference.
Ah.
So many of our speakers love working with children, so they also do presentations and talks to the kids.
Hmm.
And so we have someone who teaches the children how to douse and does all kinds of dowsing activities and games with them. And we have someone who's teaching sacred geometry, and it's wonderful. and patterns in nature and geomancy.
What's geomancy? Is that ley lines and?
Yeah, it's about tuning into the earth and the energy earth and finding your place on the earth or the place of where you are in the earth.
I'm going back to dowsing for a minute. Is it a good place to, good way to find minerals and that sort of thing? Gold, besides
gold,
water?
Minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Oil.
Oil, mm-hmm.
A lot of dowsers douse for oil, yeah.
And with great success, what's the success rate? I guess that's kind of a subjective question.
The people I have connected to, yeah, they get good success. I got my car stolen twice, and I found it with dowsing twice.
Wow. Oh, that's really neat. What about finding a partner, finding a person?
Well, then again, you get into some interesting areas because a car is on the frequency scale, we think of it as more neutral, unless you're really emotionally charged that you, because you love your car so much. But even that, you know, when you're talking about relationship, there's a prayer that we do at the beginning of dowsing.
Okay.
Can I, may I, should I? And you can douse for your own energy, but part of the whole structure and the way the system works is that you're dowsing for yourself, but when you bring in somebody else's energy, you need to have permission. So when you're dowsing for a partner or for a relationship, as you ask the questions and you tune in, you make it about yourself first. So you wouldn't be dowsing about somebody else. You'd be dowsing about your level of compatibility and finding someone if you're looking for a partner. So if you meet someone, you can douse his energy or her energy. And pretty much people have intuitive instincts about people anyway. Or instead of like dowsing the actual person, where am I going to go to meet the right person for myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where am I going to go to find my right community? Is it worth it for me to go to this place? I remember a story. I was doing a story for the newspaper a while back, and I was interviewing this dowser, and he says, well, I doused for my friend what class he should take. And so he took the class, and he said the class was really boring, and he really didn't like it, but he sat next to someone that he really liked, and they got to talking, and they ended up going out and dating and got married. So never know.
Oh, my. So it isn't just a linear approach in some ways.
Yeah.
So when you say you have to ask permission, you're saying you have to do it for yourself. So it's like, if I want to meet someone, is it worth going here or there? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you could use it for that. Or if you meet someone, I think your intuition knows if that someone is something you resonate with, and then dowsing would just validate it.
I'm just laughing, thinking, okay, so you meet someone, and you bring out your little Y-shaped stick, and you do it in front of him or over his head or something.
I know. We have somebody who's giving a talk at the conference, and he's using he's dowsing for compatibility in relationships. And that's just not personal relationships, but it could be business relationships.
Now, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he uses the chakras, and it's. I've been to the talk when I went to the Southwest Conference, and it's really a good talk. Yeah.
So how does that work? I mean, let me see, dowsing the chakras, is whether the chakras get invigorated or really active if you consider this other person, or what?
Well, he uses a rate scale. So for instance, in dowsing, you always have to have it concrete when you're asking the questions. So if you use each chakra, you know, you've got 1 through 10 and you're dowsing the level of compatibility between someone, you're going to be looking at, let's say, the first chakra, and everybody knows what first chakra is all about, or it's
just remind everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is just an example. So let's say one person douses to be an 8 and the other person a 1. you'll know where the challenges are right then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone being very grounded and rooted and someone who may not be as grounded. And so then it's not about saying that that's the wrong person for you or the right person. You just know where the challenges are and where the compatibilities are.
Hmm. So does he work as a counselor on this level?
No, he's a water dowser, but he just got really excited about it, and he uses it for a variety of... he just uses it, and he's been using it for years, and he finally came out of the closet and decided to make presentations on it.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the beauty of dowsing. It'll get you into stuff, and you just use it. And
you just keep going further and further. Have you used it a lot? Do you have any fun stories about things you've doused with it?
Things that I've doused?
Yeah. Like, do you douse shopping? Do you douse, like, third-dimensional things like that? Or do you keep it, you know, for...
I do all of the above. I mean, dowsing will get you into energy work really fast.
Mm. And you do energy work, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a term, I'm sure people know, are very familiar with this term, called clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And in dowsing, we just know that if there's some kind of block between me and what it is that I want to do, if I'm having a bad hair day,
mm-hmm.
One of our most renowned dowsers who just made his transition last summer wrote a book called Letter to Robin, and you can actually get it. It's a free download online. And
who's it by, Harold McCoy or?
Walter Woods.
Okay.
And he says you just practice every day. And he has this whole list of things you clear. And let's say you find that some chakras are out or some, you know, energy stuff is out. And then you just find that it's out, it's blocked, and then you just ask the system to clear it. And your pendulum will keep swinging and swinging and swinging until it's cleared.
Hmm.
And, you know, that's really magical.
And so that's using a pendulum to do it. Do you ever use a Y for that?
Oh, yeah, you can... I've used an L rod because it just swings around and around and around.
Mm.
And you can also use a bobber, too, because it swings around and around.
Do you clear your own chakras that way, Karen?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, if you just spend some time in the morning, no more than a couple of minutes, just clearing yourself, then you can start your day better.
Hmm. And so what about for healing and health?
It just guides you, like... Mm-hmm. We're developing a course for the local area here. We're calling it Swinging Yourself to Health.
Oh, nice.
And it's just teaching people how to douse and how to go into a grocery store and pick the right foods for them.
And how do you do it? You don't take your L-rod in, do you? For people that don't know.
Yeah, why not?
The L-rod is a little rod with a right angle, like a handle on it, right?
Right.
And what do? Just hold the handle and the rod activates like a pendulum?
Mm-hmm. It'll just swing. And so you just ask, well, what's my yes direction? What's my no direction?
Mm-hmm.
You can use one rod or two. And where the two cross, it's usually a yes. And where it opens, it's a no. It just depends on how you set up your program, because it's whatever your program is for you, you're basically programming your instrument to talk to you.
Hmm. But it's interesting. Why is it that yes will be your right or turning clockwise and no will be anti-clockwise for different people? You know, it'll be the other way around for some people.
I think it's all individual, although when they teach in the schools, they will often keep it consistent by saying, okay, this is for everybody here, this is a yes and this is a no.
Hmm.
It makes it easier for people to learn, especially if they're feeling a little... unsure of themselves.
Hmm.
And for some people, when I douse, I just say, just hold it and have it move and have the system tell you what a yes is and what your no is.
Yeah, that's the way I've done pendling in the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you go into, I just find it interesting that it does go in different ways, but you're saying you can program everyone to do it the same way, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you when you're doing a class, they may do it that way, and mm-hmm. then some people say, well, geez, my yes is the opposite. And mm-hmm. most instructors will say, well, fine. It's just a way of showing you the signal.
Mm-hmm. So when you go to a store, grocery store, and people have allergies and sensitivities, how do you recommend, besides using the L-rod, which sometimes might be a little self-conscious making, do you have other techniques?
Well, that's how I actually learned to finger douse. I would be, I didn't want to call attention to myself, so I just started going into the store, and I would rub my fingers together, and my fingers would stick hard to move with my yes, and they would slide smoothly when it was a no, and I just go through the store sliding my fingers.
Oh, I've never heard of that one. I've heard of the one where you put your thumb and forefinger together and make a circle.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thumb and forefinger together, and then you try to break one circle with the other, right?
Right. There's another one you can do, too, where you just stand and you say, what's my yes and no, and your body will sway from one direction and the other.
Right.
And that's subtle. Nobody notices what you're doing in the store.
I might think you're a little spaced, maybe, huh?
Yeah. it was Walt Woods. When we went to his memorial, it was very sweet that people would get up and tell stories how Walt would be just at his pendulum out and just start dowsing. He'd douse every place, and he made the best friends in his town by not being self-conscious about his dowsing.
Oh,
he'd
wow.
He'd go into a store and douse, or... One woman told a story of how she was in the bank, and he just went up to her and started telling her about dowsing. And here, you can douse this and douse that. And then he taught her, and they became friends.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? So it takes his stepping over that threshold, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that story. So now I'm not as self-conscious. I just will go into a store and douse it.
Hmm. I like that a lot. So what kind of energy do you do normally, Karen?
I do releasing work, healing energy,
mm-hmm.
And kinesiology. Mm. So I'll use muscle testing to find the blockages, mostly with emotional and spiritual.
That's healing. Interesting. Isn't kinesiology an aspect of dowsing as well?
Oh, yes, it mm-hmm. is. It's just using the body.
Mm-hmm. But it's sort of touching certain parts to see what strengthens it?
What strengthens it or what will weaken it.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you get a clear circuit within the body, you get a kind of you do get a kinesthetic feeling. And so the person who actually is being tested with the muscle testing can really feel what it feels like to have a yes and a no response.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're testing for nutrition... then the energy weakens, you can really feel that, oh, yeah, this food weakens my energy system. So it validates and motivates them, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this food right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then kinesiology has all these energy corrections so that you can balance the body's energy to anything from a belief to a food, or an emotional state. So if someone is, for instance, festering anger inside, you can balance the body and release the anger.
How do you balance the body?
Without having to emote and scream and yell and holler. It's just a very gentle way of helping a person to have clarity behind all of their emotional system, not just negative emotions, but positive.
So how do you do
negative
it?
Negative emotionals are not negative, maybe.
Right. I mean that they're expressions.
They're expressions, exactly.
Yeah. Do you do it with pendulums?
Yeah, you can do it with a pendulum, too.
What do you do? Touch them or shiatsu?
It's all energy, and once you have that intention within you, you can just touch the person and use the pendulum and just ask the pendulum to clear.
Mm.
But when I work with people, I have I like to hold certain points on the body because those points, which are related to the meridian system,
mm-hmm.
will help the body release it.
Hmm.
or help the person's subconscious and unconscious mind release it.
Of course, my mind is going into all these things like free energy for running cars and things like that. Isn't it all about learning to establish a rapport with the energies that are available for whether it's for your body or whether it's for your rapport with the land or whether it's for rapport with the atmosphere, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. It is.
It's very old,
I mean,
too.
If some people are sensitive, let's say, to low pressure,
mm-hmm.
you can use kinesiology, for instance, to just have them mentally think about how they feel when it's really low pressure. And then you balance the body's energy system to that. And if you do that a few times, then the next time a person is in, you know, experiencing low pressure, the symptoms of low pressure may be reduced.
Now you're talking about atmospheric pressure, right?
Yeah.
What about blood pressure?
That gets into the world of the things that doctors do.
Right.
So we leave that to them.
Okay.
In terms of actually looking at like a label like that, mm-hmm. you would just douse what kind of energies are impacting it.
Okay. That's a good way to do it, isn't it? So you can douse it yourself.
You know, I actually hold this belief that dowsing and energy work and light workers are in a very creative mode right now.
I believe that,
they're
too.
They're like downloading lots of information, and we're all doing it collectively, and that this is the new medicine. It's like as medicine gets more and more technical and difficult to deal with,
mm-hmm.
the more and more energy medicine is going to be valued.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more medicine is controlled by the powers that be, we are light workers and energy workers are just developing a system to keep people healthy.
Well, you know what sounds
like?
It's
not about curing the disease. It's about keeping you healthy so these things don't even happen to you.
Seems to me that it's also about empowering ourselves as vehicle. We're energy first, aren't we?
Right,
and
exactly.
Physical second, and we're tuning into that, I believe. Are we?
Yeah, I think we are. It's like building our, empowering our own strength and our own consciousness to take care of ourselves.
Hmm. And it's also, you're already saying that it's also in kind of a collective. You're saying more and more light workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately.
And dowsers, I think, are on the cutting edge. You know, I really do.
Great.
I have seen so many amazing things happen.
Really?
Oh, like the dowser, he's in Virginia, Raymond Grace, and
I think I've heard of him.
Yeah, you can Google him. But, I mean, in his book, he talks about, in the talks that I've heard him talk, he can take stagnant streams and just clear them. Hmm. And one day they were, you know, polluted, and the next day they weren't. I mean, it's amazing.
Wow, that is amazing. It's a remarkable thing we need these days, right?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a life force.
Wow.
Like, who is it? Emoto from Japan did
right.
all those beautiful crystal
right.
pictures
those...
of water when you sent it love,
mm-hmm.
beautiful crystals, and mm-hmm. when you sent it hate, it was ugly and murky and polluted.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that we're these beings, these bodies, these humans, and we're mostly water, and every time we think a bad thought or hate somebody, the crystalline structure of our body kind of gets kind of murky, whereas when you send affection and love, it empowers them.
Right.
To them or to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like my husband's, when I get down on myself, he says, quit abusing yourself. It's child abuse.
Ah.
Think of something good.
So let's jump around to the beginning of the Dowsers. First of all, you did talk about there's an American Dowsers Association, and I'm assuming that that's quite old. Am I right?
I believe it started in the early 50s.
Ah, that's a while, hey?
Yeah, and it's in Vermont. They have, the headquarters is in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the West Coast Conference is sponsored by them, so we're basically the West Coast version of them.
Hmm.
And they were started by a bunch of dowsers who just wanted to get together and hang out and speak the same language.
Hmm.
And be able to teach each other and to teach other people. And that's how it really started, is the Fellowship of Dowsers. And then they found out they were interested in all these other things besides just looking for water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it brought them into a whole world of psychic phenomena and metaphysics. And
creating our reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember I first started going to this conference, which was over about 30 years ago. There was a guy there with these crystal balls, and I always thought crystal balls were kind of hokey, and it's real.
You know,
they call it scrying, and I was so amazed, like, wow, this guy's a dowser, and he validates what he's seeing with the instrument, but he was looking in the crystal ball and being able to be very accurate.
Wow. And so then when did you start having the West Coast Dowsers and Metaphysicians Conference?
Well, it started in Southern California in 1980, and then it was there 1 year, and then it got moved up to UC Santa Cruz. So we used the facilities,
mm-hmm.
and we had an annual conference for years, and then about 6 years ago, we decided to do it every other year. And all of us love dowsing, and the group that has been organizing this particular conference is like a family.
Hmm.
You know, some people have come and gone, but for the most part, there's a core of us that have known each other since the 80s. And we just get together and have fun and have meetings and do planning. And the conference really reflects the fact that we like each other so much, because the conference itself is a lot of fun.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's education and learning, and all the speakers volunteer their time to come, make presentations. I have probably learned more with the dowsing conferences that I've gone to than I have in the mega workshops that I've been to, you know, weekend marathons.
Hmm.
It's amazing what you can learn from these people.
So tell me, this, it seems to me that, and we have been to one in 2008, in fact, but it seems to me that the ambiance, the atmosphere would be just highly charged all around it. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You kind of come and you get into it and you meet people you haven't met before and you realize you speak the same language. Some people call it, gee, I finally found my tribe, my kindred spirits. I don't have to be guarded about what I talk about. People just know each other. And a lot of the dowsers will, you come up to them and say, well, how did you do that? And if they have the time, they'll just sit down and show you.
Hmm.
There's an openness and because it's summer, it's as much as you're learning stuff and there's the academics of it, we provide a lot of the fun of it too. So there's a plaza where they have vendors and people can share and talk and learn. And then in the evenings, we have evening events and social events so people can get to know each other.
Hmm. Well, so this year, do you have a special theme?
It's called Dowsing: A Clear Path Forward.
Aha.
The idea was that there was so much negative consciousness around the end of the Mayan calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, we're dowsers. We know how to clear things. It's a path. We're moving forward into a new paradigm. It's a real shift this year. So why don't we use the tools of our dowsing and teach people how to use these tools to keep their own beings and self clear and their own pathways in life clear so they can make really good choices for themselves.
Great. So how can we do that, especially being an election year? Can we clear that path?
Oh, yeah.
How do we do that, Karen?
You formulate the right question, and then you turn it over to the system and say, clear it.
Oh.
I mean, in an election year, it's or any year, because every year we elect on something, and
mm-hmm.
everybody has opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And all those opinions really have to do with the personality.
Hmm.
and the ego. And what the dowsing does is help you to get neutral with all of that so that you can be clear for yourself. And so so I think a lot of dowsers know that, and so when things happen, they just trust that it's the right thing.
Hmm.
It's the right way to be.
Hmm.
So you may not agree with what's happened politically, but you can accept how you can resonate your own self with that.
You're clearing a path for yourself to flourish and be fine in it, whatever it is.
Fine, exactly.
So what you're saying is in dowsing, you're always working on yourself, really.
I would say so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You cannot help but work on yourself.
Hmm. So, yeah, you've got a wonderful vibration, so I think you're a great ad for it all. Tell me, who's in your lineup this year, Karen?
Well, we've got 60 speakers, so I'll just give you some highlights.
60 is a lot.
Our keynote speaker is Gladys McCoy.
Okay.
And she is the co-founder of the Ozark Research Institute, which is it's in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been coming to the conference for years, since the 80s, and her husband was a phenomenal healer, and I love him because he is so grounded, and he just created this, he and his wife created this institute, and they wanted to use dowsing and the power of thought as a way of healing.
Okay.
And so he made his transition 2 years ago. And we asked her to be our keynote, talk about his work and her work and the Power of Thought School that she runs,
mm-hmm.
and the organization she runs, and the incredible healing experiences that she gives people in mm-hmm. their organization. And anybody can join.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going to be our keynote and doing a workshop.
Okay.
Betty Epstein is an amazing hypnotherapist, and she's going to be teaching a workshop all day on using self-hypnosis to clear yourself so you can become a better dowser or a better intuitive.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then she's doing a talk with Alan David where they're going to talk about getting back to the roots of dowsing.
Oh, wow. What are the roots of dowsing?
All the different things that we have, the dowsers do, some of the old-time water dowsers, the old-time mineral dowsers. Betty dowses, she's an old-time water dowser.
Hmm.
She's from Texas. And she's also got a great sense of humor, and so does Alan David.
Hmm.
So not only will you learn a lot of stuff, but you're going to be entertained. Little things like roots of dowsing, like how to block energy. Like there's a whole frequency of water energy. When water flows, it creates energy. And some of the energy can be deleterious to some people's health.
Oh, really?
So there are ways of using dowsing to block those frequencies so that the home that you live in will resonate with sweetness and good energy.
Can you block toxic energies?
Yeah, it becomes, if the energy itself is not toxic, but it's toxic to certain people.
Okay.
And that's what dowsing is. It's like tuning in and saying, okay, there's this energy coming into your house, and it's not good for you. Your energy system is being depleted. We have a gal coming from Canada, and she's an amazing dowser. She actually doused herself from an illness to wellness, and now she's teaching dowsing everywhere.
Hmm.
We have an astrologer and a numerologist are going to be doing the numerology of the upcoming year and the astrology of an upcoming year. That's Herbert Gandrup and Rob Ryan, and they're local.
Okay.
And we have three feng shui practitioners.
So well, now that's another form of energy in dowsing, isn't it?
Uh-huh. A lot of people who are into feng shui douse. They'll douse exactly where the placements are going to be.
Oh, wow.
And they clear the houses.
Hmm.
So we've got a couple of talks. One is called House Busting 101.
Okay.
And Shamanic Feng Shui.
Okay.
And then there's another gal, local Green Chi Designs.
Oh.
Which is also a form of feng shui. Linda Lenore. And let's see. Gisela Hoffman Kroger. Now, her mother was Hannah Kroger, who...
Oh, that's why she sounds familiar, huh?
Yeah, her mother, she died in her late 90s, and she created a whole healing system.
Hmm.
And she was a dowser from a young child and created a whole healing system.
What was her healing system? Was it Touch for Health or...
No, it was her own. A lot of it was herbs, mm-hmm. and a lot of it was radionically derived energy potions for specific... energy imbalances.
She made a big difference symptoms. On the planet. I remember that.
Yeah, symptoms. You know, mm-hmm. she's going to be talking about using the principles of dowsing in modern medicine.
Oh, great!
So it's like a merging or a compatibility between medicine and energy work and doing what you can do to take care of yourself.
Wow, that's great.
We have Sharon Hope will be doing map dowsing, like taking Google Maps and being able to douse Google Maps. How fun is that?
That's fun. We do a bit of that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm a dowser, too.
Oh, I know you are.
I thought I'd better stick that out there over the great global media waves here.
Yeah. A lot of people are dowsers and don't even know they are.
Yeah, well, that's why it's such an interesting word. It's so much more than what we think of, you know. It applies to so many different things that help us find our way.
Absolutely. Finding your way, it can come in many ways, like... One of our speakers is talking about a journey to the Akashic Records.
Oh, wow. Great. I'll take
that. And I mean, many people would love to be able to go into that world. And that's just another way of finding who you are and what it's all about.
And do they take you into a trance or what?
I don't think it's a trance. I think I've been through it. It's more like a deep, relaxed space where you... can visit the Akashic Records.
Wonderful.
We have, let's see, what is, someone's doing a past life journey.
Mm-hmm.
We have several labyrinths that we'll be building.
Oh, wonderful.
So Alex Champion, who's been on our committee forever, mm-hmm. and since the 80s, and he builds a different labyrinth every conference.
Hmm.
And then he builds a Cretan labyrinth on the grass, and so people can walk the Cretan labyrinth. And then there's another gal who has a canvas labyrinth, and she's going to drum people through the labyrinth and give them readings when they come out.
That's nice. Tell people at home what labyrinth, some people might not know what it is to walk a labyrinth.
Well, those are ancient, mm-hmm. and they're in the past 20, 30 years, there's been a resurgence and in-depth look at what the labyrinths are. In medieval times, the classic labyrinth was used to reenact the pilgrimage to Jerusalem in many ways. But in other ways, you would find them in churches, you'd find them in gardens, you'd find them all over. And when a person would walk a labyrinth, it would shift their energy.
Mm-hmm.
It would connect them to the divine.
It's literally walking through a maze, isn't it?
Well, it's they used to call them mazes, but now they call them labyrinths because mazes imply just that, confusion a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a labyrinth, actually the way they're designed, helps you to realign your energy so you have a spiritual experience.
So ideally, we walk through it very slowly and kind of meditatively and unravel some of our own confusion.
Old stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it may just balance your energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people may feel out of sorts or have a headache, and they go in the labyrinth and come out, and they feel better.
And the woman who's doing with the drum and the labyrinth and giving readings, is she, what's her name?
Her name's Ophelia. She mm-hmm. just goes by Reverend Ophelia,
mm-hmm.
and she's local.
And do the readings what am I trying to find out here? Do the readings become more apparent because the people have walked the labyrinth on the way through?
I would say so. Mm-hmm. It clears out the blocks. Mm-hmm. She has a gift of seeing, so.
So she gets to see deeper, more deeply, because people do that work, eh?
Work. And it may be nothing more than the reading is like, you vibrant and you're happy.
Mm.
You know, or keep, you know, or maybe just one word that the person needed to hear. We're going to have another speaker. Mikhail Plettner is going to talk about the great art of alchemy.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. It'll be a very scholarly lecture.
Hmm. Is he talking about real alchemy from the old days where you're making gold out of gosh knows what?
I went to his talk, and it's really interesting how people always thought that that was what it is, and that's just a component of it.
Hmm.
That it's really, alchemy is really about energy work, you know, of transmuting from one form to another.
So it's like when you have experiences.
The root of homeopathy really came from alchemy.
Aha!
Radionics. We're going to have a lecture on radionics, dowsing in a box, it's called.
Hmm.
We're going to have Jean Slater, who wrote a book called Hiring the Heavens,
mm-hmm.
is going to do a talk on hiring the heavens, and she's also doing a workshop called Wantology.
I'd love to have her on our show.
Yeah. And break free of the law of attraction.
Break free of the law of attraction?
Right.
So you can be an independent purveyor of wisdom?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And then we're going to have a couple of water dowsers throughout the conference. So each day we have water dowsers that are going to teach water dowsing.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we're going to have introductory instruction.
How to douse, right?
Yeah, just basic how to douse. And for those people who do douse or do pendle and they have questions or they want to get clarity or they want to get extra coaching, then they can also come.
Hmm.
Like, one of the things about the American Society of Dowsers is that it's an organization that comes out of Vermont, but they have chapters everywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the chapters may meet every month. They may meet twice or three times a year. And the way they're usually run is they find speakers, and everybody comes to hear a speaker as well as to socialize and to connect. And they usually, afterwards, will share a meal together if they choose to.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summer months, they may have picnics together, or they may sponsor little introductory workshops on dowsing or something related to dowsing. And we've got chapters in California, it's Los Angeles, San Francisco Bay Area. I run the San Francisco Golden Gate chapter.
So there are people all over the country. How many people are involved, like thousands?
I wouldn't imagine so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
You join the organization, you get a journal, and then you get discounts at the chapter meetings and at the conferences. And you get an opportunity to meet people and connect. And most of the chapters, like our chapter, we have an instructor,
mm-hmm.
Richard Tippett, who will teach basic dowsing to anybody who shows up. And he'll sit there, and if you've got a problem with your dowsing, he'll try to help you fix it.
Hmm. So who else is coming in? Oh, and I want to know something else about multidimensionality. Do they pay attention to that in dowsing? Because I'm thinking probably there's a lot of information about different dimensions through the dowsing process. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all in the level of asking the question.
Hmm.
You know, we have this dimension we call, which is physical, the physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I are trusting that this telephone call really does happen, you know, because we're not seeing each other.
That's right.
But then I'm sitting here at my table, and I'm looking at the table and the paper, and the walls of the room I'm in, and that's all physical.
Mm-hmm.
And we trust that there are other realities because we experience it.
Right.
And dowsing can just put you into that world.
Hmm.
And so when you're dowsing, you can douse the physical reality, but you can also douse the other world reality or the other dimensional reality quite easily. Dowsing will help you to access it.
To access maybe past life memory as well?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Have you done that, Karen?
Yeah, I actually have.
Hmm. I'm going to try it after we've talked. And who else? Is there anybody else that we are going to put on the air that people might be looking forward to hearing?
Let's see.
You said that Betty Epstein would possibly come on. I look forward to that.
Oh, yeah, Betty. And Gladys was wanting to come on.
Oh, wonderful.
And Rob Ryan, who's an astrologer, has many great things to say.
Oh, great. And does he douse astrology charts? I wonder if he does that.
He probably does. You'd have to ask him. I've never asked him that question, actually. Ed Stillman wants to come, and he's the one that does dowsing for personal relationship compatibilities as
oh,
well.
Oh, goody.
He's our basic dowsing school instructor. He's the director of our school.
Hmm.
He's an amazing master dowser.
Wow. Maybe I should get people to write in their own questions before he comes on, eh?
Yeah.
And then he can douse some responses there. Well, I'm excited. Now, you didn't tell us where and when and how people can get hold of the, what's the website? Is it www.westcoastdowsersconference?
No. www.dowserswestcoast.org.
Dowsers, West Coast.
Yes, so it's Dowsers, but it's plural,
okay.
westcoast.org.
Okay.
And that'll bring you to our website. And if you want to, there's contact information in there. There's an application to download. There's a registration packet that gives you all kinds of information about the conference. I mean, we really try to take care of our attendees. So we have housing available on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And the accommodations are quite nice because it puts you right in the thick of all the activities, and you don't have to go far in order to be there. And a lot of people, just once they get there on the housing, they love being there because they don't really want to leave. And the campus itself is beautiful. It has the vistas where you can see the Pacific Ocean. And, yeah, California sometimes can get a little foggy on the coast, but there are years, and so far this year we've had some really nice sunny weather.
Great.
So we expect sunny weather, but, again, we take care of you and tell you, well, bring layers in case you get cold.
Mm-hmm.
And we have redwood trees and hiking trails. It's a beautiful campus.
Mm-hmm.
So, when your information starts to get into overwhelm, you just go into the redwood forest and hug a tree or just sit there.
Douse the right tree to hug, eh?
Hug, exactly. And
the one thing we haven't said to people is, what are the dates of the conference?
The dates are July 6th, which is the beginning and advanced schools.
Okay.
The advanced school has Feather Anderson, who will be doing geomancy and earth acupuncture.
Great.
And Susan Collins will be doing advanced dowsing mm-hmm. techniques. And Betty Epstein will be doing her self-hypnosis.
Wonderful.
And then we have the conference from the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And we have 60 speakers in that during those days, plus a keynote speech and an entertainment night. And then we have workshops on Tuesday, which Gisela Hoffman will be doing an all-day workshop on healing.
Okay. Using
dowsing for healing.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the daughter of Hannah Kroger.
Right.
And then we will be having 4 mini workshops, half-day workshops. See if I can... Peter Fairfield will be doing Deep Happy.
All right, Peter Fairfield, yes.
And Gladys McCoy will be doing Dowsing for Affirmations and for a happy and healthy, prosperous life. And Jean Slater will be doing Wantology.
Great.
And Shazé will be doing All About Abundance and Happiness. So it's...
It should be a pretty...
really good workshops where you can go in more in depth into yourself, which is what the workshops are designed to do.
That's wonderful. And we're going to have to end this now or they'll hook us off stage tonight here, Karen. But I've enjoyed this so much, and I'm so much looking forward to talking to the next few weeks' interviewees that are going to lead us into the Dowsers Conference this year. And I thank you so much for your time and for your wonderful information.
And thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this conference, and I love dowsing, and I love the people I work with, and I love the attendees.
Ah, you can really feel that.
I look forward to meeting everybody.
So that's Karen Ashley. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening tonight, and learn to douse your own happiness. West Coast Dowsers Conference coming up in July in Santa Cruz. This is Veronica, as I already said, and we're going to be interviewing a number of people over the next few weeks. So stay tuned to Paradigm Shifters. Good night.